Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning here at St. Paul's. We just want to greet and welcome everyone. Some of you are here as visitors. Thank you for attending this morning, and may the Lord bless each one of us as we come into his presence to worship his holy and precious name. If you look inside of our bulletin, you'll notice on the very first page of this Pentecost Sunday that we have blue cards in the pew. If you would like to use one of those, please just to fill it out and to hand that in. We would appreciate that, just knowing a little bit more of who you might be and just be able to greet you. And also, too, there are yellow cards in the pew racks, too. If there's a prayer request, just fill that out and place it inside the offering plate, and then the ushers will get that to Pastor Micah and in our time of prayer towards the end of the service. Also, too, along that matter of prayer requests, it's been requested that we might keep in mind Patrick Masloff. He was involved in that trailer truck accident in Glendon this week, and so if we would be in prayer for that individual during this time of recovery for him. You'll notice some extra flowers in our sanctuary this morning, and those are from the Emma and Stafford Thompson wedding yesterday. And also, too, you'll notice if you walk through the back, there's a keg of root beer, and we get to enjoy some leftovers from the wedding yesterday. And so everyone's invited to stay after the service and have some calories. I don't know if you're familiar with 1919 root beer and ice cream, but they're just a wonderful pair that are to be enjoyed by everyone. And so please stay afterwards for that. Also, too, some other announcements in our bulletin. This week is our annual conference in Canadensis, Pennsylvania. Pastor Michael will be flying out this afternoon right after the service. And so if we just keep our annual conference in prayer that the Lord would use that time to speak to us as a church body and to move us forward in the direction he wants us to go. Next Sunday, our youth group is having a fundraiser, and so there'll be an opportunity to eat donuts. We do worship here besides eat, by the way, but we enjoy our fellowship, and it's tough to beat fellowship with a donut and coffee. And so next Sunday, the youth will be using that as a fundraiser. And then on June 17th, a week from this Monday, our coffee and conversation, and again, more calories. Also, too, on June 20th, this is kind of a makeup day for the baby shower for Ethan Cornanen, and so you're invited to come at 7 o'clock for Terry and to meet baby Ethan perhaps for the first time here at the church. And then June 23rd through the 27th is our vacation Bible school. And for those students who have finished sixth grade, you'll notice at the bottom of our bulletin that you're now invited to join our youth activities. And if you have any questions on that, please see Aaron Arneson, and he'll help welcome you into that group. And we have also a special request. Susan Shield is new to our congregation, and she's looking for someone that might be able to help her move, someone with a van or an SUV, and that'll be on July 1st. And if you have any questions or are able to help out on that, would you please speak to Pastor Micah? Are there other announcements this morning? If not, I want to read from our call to worship, and that comes from Joel chapter 2, verses 28-32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May we please rise and sing together our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
You may be seated. Job 19, verses 25 and 26 say, "And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God." We'll sing, "There is a Redeemer."
23, 1 through 2 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." We're going to sing "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," number 566, verses 1, 2, 4, and 6.
Sing "Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart," number 446 in your hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Come this morning to our confession of sins, where our holy God is a loving God, and our God doesn't push us away in our sin, that he calls us to come to him. And he makes that call through his son, Jesus Christ, who says, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Would you join together as we would confess unto the Lord our sin as found in this morning's bulletin? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to confess to you that we have grievously sinned and fallen short of your glory. We have not loved you above all things or our neighbor as ourselves. We confess these and other sins to you and look to you in faith for your forgiveness and cleansing. Grant to us your mercy and grace, and help us to live our lives in the way that most honors you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And our Lord tells us, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. God has forgiven us of our sins in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, I'll ask Caleb to come and share God's word in our scripture readings this morning.
The first reading for today comes from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. The second reading today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared up to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and address them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, Let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here ends the reading.
Our confession this morning of faith is found in the words of the Nicene Creed. And as we look at the different creeds that we confess here in the church, the creeds give us an idea of some of the challenges of the early church and the early church in formulating these creeds. And the Nicene Creed in particular looks at the Trinity, but especially the matter of the divinity of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Would you join with me as we confess our faith? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd call upon our ushers at this time, please. Father, this is your world, and Lord, we thank you that you have decided to share it with us. Lord, we thank you for your graceful provisions that you give unto us. We thank you, Lord, for how you supply us in all our needs. Your word tells us beyond what we could ever ask or think. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we can worship you through our tithes and our offerings. And that, Lord, may we continue to extend that which you give unto us for the furtherance of the work of your church, that, Lord, we would be a blessing unto others. And we just simply ask this and pray and thank you for all of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated.
Got a children's message planned for this morning, so I'll ask the kiddos to come on up here at this time. All right, come on up. So, this morning I was looking around the church for a ladder, and I found this one, and I found a 25-foot one that goes way up in the sky, and I thought it might be easier to do a demonstration with this one, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand up here, because we know what ladders are for, right? They're to make you go higher so you can reach different things and stuff like that, or see different things. So if I stood up on this ladder, I can now see, like, I can see the tops of your heads now in a different way. I could look out there, I could see people digging into the cake and root beer already in the back, okay? Thankfully, I don't see that happening quite yet, all right? There's lots I can see if I climb this tall. Makes me really tall, right? Sometimes, do you ever wish you were taller? Yeah. Now, could there be a ladder? If I had that big, tall, 25-foot one, do you think I could get to heaven? How tall of a ladder would we need to get all the way to heaven? As tall as God is? Yeah, that would be maybe an interesting trick, wouldn't it? Yeah. None. There's no ladder that can do it. That's right, okay? But in Genesis 11, okay, in the verses that Mr. Peterson read earlier for us, it says that the people tried to make a tower that would, kind of like a ladder, that would reach all the way to heaven. It was like a staircase. That's right. How do you think that went for them? Not so good, okay? They didn't make it. And God came down, and something, he did a miracle there, okay? He at that time, there was only one language, so everybody spoke English, or not English. There we go. Yeah, okay. Everybody spoke the same language, all right? And so they could all talk to each other, make these big plans to try to reach up to heaven, all right? And it didn't work, and God came down, and he changed their languages. So now all these people were speaking different languages. They couldn't understand each other anymore, okay? And part of the reason for that, it was God bringing judgment because he was telling them, showing them, that we can't try to ascend to heaven. We can't try in our own smart wisdom or architecture or whatever you want to call it to try to get to heaven by our own goodness, our own deeds. We can't reach that high. We just can't, okay? And so that was God. When he came down, he changed their languages. Now they can't understand each other. They realize that they're kind of helpless that way. Then, fast forward many, many, many years, and somebody from heaven came down. Jesus did, right? Okay. Jesus came down. And what did he do? He saved us. Even if we can't get to heaven on our own, he came down to save us, to bring us so that we can go to heaven with him, right? Okay. Isn't that good news? And then what happened just a few days after Jesus died, rose again, and ascended back into heaven, he said earlier, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to come and help you. And that's what I'm going to talk about in the sermon today. And then the Holy Spirit did come, and he gave the disciples, the apostles, those who were leading that day, the ability to speak in these different languages. So now all of a sudden, everybody could understand them, just like you and I do understand English. Okay, so we have this word right here. Whose word is this? God's, right? Okay, and what do we learn about in here? We learn about God, and we learn a lot about him, and we learn about Jesus, who's our way of salvation, who's our way to heaven, right? Okay, and Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to help us understand this. Okay, he helps us to understand the word so that we can know and believe in Jesus and the life that we have in him, and he's given it to us in a way that we can understand. That's why we can sit here and talk about this. You can do that at home with your sisters and brothers and your parents or whoever it is that you have with you. And you can tell other people about Jesus too, okay? Because he's been so good to us, because he sent his son to come down to get us, to save us, and to bring us ultimately to heaven with him. All right? If you have any questions, you can ask me after the service. You guys can go and sit down. Thanks for coming up. This time I'll call on Caleb Fugelberg to share a special song with us today.
Thank you for your patience here as I get set up. The song I'm going to sing is called Most Merciful God. It's a song of confession of sin and repentance. The reason that I love this song so much is it's called Most Merciful God. We're addressing God as merciful. And what that means is that, and why we should be so grateful that God is merciful, is that when we look at our sin, when we look at the sin that's in the world around us, we see that it's something that deserves God's condemnation and wrath. But what God's mercy is that he doesn't give us what we do deserve when we do deserve that wrath and judgment, but he withholds it. He doesn't give it. And the reason he doesn't give it is because he loves us. He seeks to draw us back to himself. In fellowship, in unity. He is the vine, we are the branches. We are to be one, we aren't to be separated. And so we sing this song of repentance and acknowledge that God is a merciful God and that he does forgive.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you. By what we have done, by what we have left undone. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you. By what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as we've loved ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy and forgive us, that we may delight in your will, and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Most merciful God, we humbly repent. Help us to walk in your ways. Most merciful God, most merciful God. Most merciful God, we humbly repent. Help us to walk in your ways. Most merciful God, most merciful God. Amen.
Thank you very much for that, Caleb. We are in the book of John this morning, John chapter 16. Verses 4 through 15, that's what I'm going to read for us. I would ask if you would please stand with me as I read these verses, if you are able. John chapter 16, verses 4 through 15, reading today. These are the words of Jesus. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here ends our reading. Father in heaven, these are your words. I am grateful to you today for your word, and I pray that you would sanctify this word, that you would set it apart in our hearts as truth, because your word is true. God, thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. And I pray now that you would bless this time that we have as we look specifically at that glorious third person of the Trinity and who he is and what he does for us on our behalf. Thanks for your word. Thanks for this time. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the guys I went to seminary with had a habit of coming up with these quick and clever responses to different questions that came up, the kind of thing where his mind would see things from a different angle, and it would take some of the rest of us a few minutes after he gave his quick answer to see what he was thinking, and then it would make sense, and it was interesting, and sometimes very helpful. Sometimes, though, it was just kind of silly, too. And one day, we were talking about the different orders of service and how some things have changed over time, and in particular, the confessions of faith that we use. Here at St. Paul's, we almost always use the Apostles' Creed to confess our faith. Today, we said the Nicene Creed. We're going to do that next week, too, as we focus these weeks specifically on the Holy Spirit today, on Pentecost, and then Trinity Sunday next week. And one of the changes that those